I want to continue in our series. We've been talking on words. And the first week we talked about the power of our tongue. And we talked about how you can speak death and life in the tongue and how there's that, it can be destructive. But we also talked about how your tongue can speak direction into people's lives. It can speak, if you have control over your tongue, like James says, that it's like a bit in a horse's mouth. That your tongue, if you have a loose tongue, you can literally have an unbridled life. That you will have a loose life. And then it said that, you know, he goes on to say it's like a rudder in a large ship. And so that speaks of direction, you know. And so we talked about how when you have control of your tongue, you have the power to speak direction into your life, into your family's life, into your kids' life, to those around you. And then we talked about how James, like, throws it way out there and says it's like a fire. And we talked about the destruction and the division that a tongue can bring if you don't have control over it. And how James says that it's impossible, that it's hard to tame the tongue, that without God we can't do it, and that it's an identity crisis. And then we talked about encouragement last week. We talked about how as parents and as believers in Christ and as Christ followers, that we should be people of encouragement, that we should speak words of encouragement, because his word says that words of encouragement, the lips of the righteous nourish many, that it feeds many. Are our words feeding the people around us? Are they full? Are they satisfied? Or are they empty? And this week, we're going to talk about words of life. See, I think as a Christian, as a believer, I think some of the most important words, the most impactful words, the most life-changing words that we can share with someone is the gospel, is the word of life. And so I want to talk to you today about words of life. You know, we use words for so many things, but the biggest thing that we do is we use them to exchange information. Like, for instance, I'm going to share with y'all some really important information. Are y'all ready for it? The Arkansas Razorbacks made the College World Series in baseball. All right. No one else excited about that? Let me tell you someone even better. We beat Texas Tech to get there. Okay, it's important information, right? Y'all need to mark it in your calendars, Monday, Tuesday. Okay, College World Series against Oregon State. Arkansas going to win. Anyways, important information. We use our words to share information like that, you know, like commercials. I cannot stand commercials. I wish they didn't exist, but I get their point. But commercials share information. You know, you want that silky smooth hair, and so they tell you about the coconut-flavored whatever conditioner that will soften your hair. I don't know. You had the pepperoni guy. You know what I'm talking about? Who probably my favorite commercial on right now is the little pepperoni guy. And he sings, he has like the drum on his back and the cymbal. And you know what I'm saying? He's like, you're a pepper, something like that. See, he sings the song Pepperoni. Anyways. But we use our words to share information. The words that we use to share positive things, positive experience, words we use to describe great and positive situations are the most impactful words we could ever use. The words that we use to share positive experiences. You know what I'm saying? For example, when somebody, you know, is graduating high school, you know, we use our words of wisdom for those of us that have already graduated high school, and we speak wisdom into them. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you're going to have the best time in college. Oh, you're going to have the best time. And then some of us speak negative, but how many times does the positive carry so much further than the negative? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, but if you have your Bibles, I want to talk to you about the gospel. I want to talk to you about words of life, because I think that the words that we must share as believers is that Jesus Christ came to seek and save the lost, that he died on the cross and rose again for you and I. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 10, verses 3 through 16, and we're going to read through that. So it'll be on the screen here in a minute. But for being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments, shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven or who will descend into the abyss. But what does it say? The Lord is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they know, call him if whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? Look to your neighbor and say, you have beautiful feet. Now look back to your neighbor and say, creep. Yeah, you're awkward. Listen, we all have beautiful feet. We're supposed to be sharing the gospel. Some of the most powerful words we can share is the gospel. However, I believe that sometimes for Christians that is hard as us. That's hard for us. You know, we all say, yeah, that's me. I want to do that. I want to have the nice, pretty feet, you know, without hair and all that stuff. I want to be beautiful. You know, I want to share the gospel. I want to tell people about Jesus and what he's done for me. Yeah, Pastor Keith, I want to do that. But sometimes that's hard for us. I think we want to, and I think we want to tell people that, but we hear that and we say, yeah, I need to, but sometimes I find it hard. Or how about this? I'm really not good at that. I'm really not good at that. Sometimes we'll say, yeah, I want to share about Jesus, but what if I don't know all their answers? Or what if I don't know what if I don't have the right things to say? You know, in the Bible, I think the black belt or the ninja in sharing the gospel was Paul. I think he was like the John Cena of sharing the gospel. I don't know why I thought of John Cena, but that's what came out. Because Paul was the man. He would tell you how it was. He would share Jesus. If you hung out with Paul long enough, he would share Jesus with you. He was like the black belt. He was the guy who wanted you to know Jesus. But look at how he started. He started killing Christians. He didn't know anything. I mean, he was trained. He knew the scriptures. He was very educated. But he had it all mixed up. He was killing Christians and he was killing people. And yet he comes to this realization of who Christ is. And he begins to share with everyone the power of the gospel. And then in Romans, to his letter to the church of Romans, he writes this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also to the Gentile Greek. And then so this is what Paul writes. And I have to ask, why is he not ashamed? Why is he not ashamed? And I begin to look in my life and I begin to look in our church's life. And I'm like, why does Paul write, I'm not ashamed of the gospel? And I can tell you, church, it's not because of what it's not. You get that? Paul isn't ashamed of the gospel because of what it's not. Sometimes when we talk to people about Jesus, when we invite people to our church, the first thing that comes out of our mouth is, oh, it's not like that. You get what I'm saying? We'll say, oh, our church isn't like that. Oh, Jesus isn't like that. Oh, no, yes, we're Pentecostal, but no, we don't play with snakes. You know, we say stuff like that. We reassure people. We say that's what it's not. But Paul doesn't say that. He doesn't give a defense. He doesn't say it's not that. It's not like that. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because of what it is. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because of what it is. It is the power of God for salvation. See, church, we have to get to a point when we're sharing the words of the gospel, when we're sharing perspective. It's a perspective change. You get what I'm saying? I'm guilty of it too. I'll go to my friends and I'll be like, oh, yeah, see, Jesus isn't like that. Like, they'll think that. They'll be like, oh, you know, Jesus is condemning. We talked a little bit last week about how he's an encourager and he's not out just to get you. But people view it like that. And sometimes we'll come to the table and we'll say it. Oh, God's not like that. God's not like that. Listen, can I tell you that people have heard enough about what it's not? They've heard enough about what it's not. They know what the church is not supposed to be like. They know what Christians are not supposed to be like. They want to know what it is. They want to know what it is. And see, we know what it is. We know. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the word of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The reason I'm not ashamed of the gospel is because it is the power of God. The reason I'm not ashamed of the gospel is because it changes people. It has the power to change lives. It changed my life. See, for people who are lost, for people who don't know God personally, for people who have not encountered that intimate relationship with Him, it seems foolishness. It seems like it's outwind. It seems like it's crazy. But can I tell you, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the words of life that flow from the gospel, because it is powerful. Because it changes lives. See, I have this illustration. How many of y'all remember these vacuum cleaners? You know how long it took me to find this thing? Not very long. It was in our church closet. So if anyone would like to get the church a new vacuum. Okay. Just going to throw that bit out there. But this vacuum, how many of y'all have ever used one of these vacuums? Can I see a show of hands? Yeah. How many of y'all do not like these vacuums? Everyone who just raised their hands, raise them up again. Why? Because it pushes around dirt. You know what I'm talking about? You'll like sit there and you'll have to go over it like 10 times just to get the dirt up. And it's manual. You know what I'm saying? It's manual labor. You have to work at it. It's not very efficient. Sometimes when we're sharing the gospel, we'll point people to a book. You know what I'm saying? We'll say, hey, you need to read, other than the Bible. Sorry, let me be, we'll put them to that book. We'll say, hey, you need to read this book. Or, hey, you need to go listen to this preacher. Or, hey, you need to go listen to Pastor Keith because he's awesome. And what we're doing is we're sending them all to powerless things. Now, granted, I'm not saying all books are bad. I'm not saying that all pastors are bad. I'm not saying that, but we send them to powerless things. Power doesn't come from the preacher. It doesn't come from a book of leadership. It doesn't come from a song we sing. It comes from God. And it comes from the power of His gospel. And so what we do is we do this manual thing. And we push around the dirt. And we send them in these crazy loops where they'll walk around and they'll get their head in this leadership book. And they don't really understand it because they're not having the encounter. They're not experiencing the power. They're just running around in circles. It's powerless. We had a vacuum, like, sort of, it wasn't this bad, but it was, me and Tiff had this vacuum, and it would just not pick up dirt. I hated it. And how many of y'all have, like, those, I know Christine, we have these, Christine and Lainey have this rug, and, like, you vacuum, and we would have that, anyways, rugs shed sometimes, and it pushes stuff around, and so you need, like, something that picks it up. Well, our vacuum back in the day wouldn't pick up stuff that shed, like dogs and stuff like that. Dog hair would just push it around, and I would get so mad because on your hardwood floors, you can see it. You know what I'm saying? If it's dark hardwood floors, you see that dirt, and I'm, like, a clean guru. Like, I like my place to be clean, and so me and Tiff decided it was time for a new vacuum, okay? And so we got rid of the manual vacuum. We got rid of the Bissell natural sweep, and we went to the Dyson. Now, how many of you women own a Dyson? How many of y'all have played with the Dyson? You know what I'm talking about, all right? So we went to this Dyson. At first, I cringed. I saw the price on this thing, and I cried, okay? But Tiff got a really good deal on it, she told me. So she bought this thing. And I hated vacuuming before because I had to do it with the manual thing. There was no power in it. It was useless. It would push around dirt. I would eventually have to sweep instead of vacuum. And the tip got this thing. Listen to it. Y'all seen that? Tim the Toolman Taylor where he's like, you know what I'm talking? And then check this out. Check this out. Yeah, it's got a max on it. It's max power. And we begin to use this. And it began to like pick up everything. It began to do what it was supposed to do. See, sometimes we're sharing the gospel and we're sharing about what it's not like. And we're not sharing about what it is. We're not telling people what it is. We're not telling people what Jesus Christ really is, who he's about, who he is. And what we're doing is we're pushing around the dirt. We're giving people this vacuum and we're pushing around. We're trying, but it's all in us. You know what I'm saying? It's all in our strength. It's all in what we're telling them. It's all in our words. But when we begin to use the words of life, but when we begin to share the gospel, we begin to tell them, hey, look, I know I'm not ashamed of this gospel. I know what it is. Listen, I know there's power in it because it changed my life. Here's what happened to me. I begin to spread those words of life. I begin to share that information. God begins to fuel it, and the Holy Spirit is in that because it's an experience. It's something I related to, and there's power in it. And guess what? I don't have to do all the work. It sucks it up. You know what I'm saying? God begins to come into that person's life. It's the power of God for salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because of what it is. It's the power of God. We have to understand that the only power that can transform someone is in the gospel. That it gives us security when we share the gospel. It takes the pressure off us. See, a lot of us don't share the words of life, or we don't share our testimony. I told you, a testimony is a two-part blessing. One was for you. One was the power of God in your life. The other, it's for someone else. You get that? Your testimony, that's how we all overcome. It's through the word of our testimony. Why? Because positive messages, the gospel, the change, the power, people sense that. People see it. We rely on the power of the gospel. It takes the pressure off me. I don't have to have the right answers. I don't have to know everything. Why? Because there's power in the gospel. There's power. And the second thing that I love that Paul says when he's writing this, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone. For everyone. Not just Jews, not just Greeks, not just Gentiles. For everyone. He says, I'm not ashamed because of how the gospel works. Get that? I'm not ashamed of the gospel because what it is. It's the power of God. But I'm also not ashamed of the gospel because of how it works. How it works. See, I am not ashamed of the gospel because of how it works. It is important that we as Christians understand salvation. We understand that the work that Jesus did for us on the cross, oftentimes we forget that Jesus did for us. Paul said that he was the worst sinner. See, sometimes we get moving in the groove of life like we were talking about earlier, and we forget the real impact that Jesus did on the cross. This morning, I love the songs that we sang, and me and Melanie didn't play that. Actually, if you want to know the honest truth, we changed some of them this morning, and we didn't even talk about it. And we didn't, anyways. But the Holy Spirit was in that. Because it helped us to reflect back to the cross. Melanie was saying, you know, think of Jesus and what he did for us. So many times we forget it. And see, when we share our words of life with those who do not know Jesus, when we share our words of life with people, when we share the gospel with people, it's important that we put it into perspective, that we understand the work Jesus did for us. Paul said, I'm the worst. I'm the worst sinner. And there was grace for him. It offers reconciliation. See, you are justified as if you had never sinned. This is the gospel. Christ has saved you. It offers reconciliation. God has drawn near to you. The separation that was between you and God has been closed. That's the message of the gospel. Jesus Christ died for you and I on the cross, and he rose again on the third day, offering justification, meaning that just as if you never messed up. But he also offered reconciliation. There's a two-part there. See, reconciliation is for God so loved. Reconciliation is God so loved. Justification is to save us. For God so loved to save us. He reconciled us. He wanted to separate. He wanted to close the gap that separates us. And now, because of the work he did on the cross, there is no separation. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. We need both. Justification is permanent. There's nothing that could ever separate you from the love of God. If we lose sight of justification, we think that we have to measure up. We think in the terms of one strike and you're out. It's not like baseball. You don't get three. You just get one. That's what we begin to think of. If we lose sight of the justification, just as I had never sinned, if we lose sight of how the gospel works, we begin to think in a mentality that says, if I mess up, God's out to get me. And so because we're in this mindset of if I mess up, God's out to get me, I don't understand justification, you lose out on the whole character of God. Do you get that? Your image of who God is distorted. It's messed up because you don't understand the price he paid. You don't understand the justification. It sounds, in 1 Corinthians it said it, what? It sounds foolish to those who haven't received it, to those who haven't understood salvation, to those who have encountered it, but to those who have been saved, who have been justified, they understand it. See, we understand. I understand that I was a mess before God came in. I know my life was. I know how screwed up things were when I was living in sin. And then when God came in and he changed my life, when he set my feet upon the rock, when he pulled me out, I understand it. I understand that I was dying and going to hell. And most of us in this room understand that. We understand the power that came when God cleansed us. There was power in it, and we understood how it worked, that we couldn't earn it, that there was nothing that we could have done in that moment to earn grace, that God just poured it out on us because of our repentance, because of our humility, because of who he is. And we understand that. And so when we share the gospel, though, it's funny how times, and at times, we throw that all out the window. We try to come up with the answers. Hey, I'm standing there, too. This was something God spoke to me is, you know, sometimes, Keith, when you're preaching to those teenagers, you're giving them answers. But here's the truth is that sometimes you just got to let me do my job. Get yourself out of the way. Remember what I did for you. That it wasn't anything you said, Keith, that saved you. It wasn't anything that pastor said that day. It was all in how my gospel works. We have to get back to the words of life. When we come in contact with a dying world day after day, many of us go to jobs in Plano, Dallas, all around. You go to these jobs day in, day and out, and we come into contact with lost people every day. Whether it be at the coffee shop, whether it be at your job, whether it be at the school, whether it be wherever you're at, you come into these contact. And we have the power of God. The Bible says that the same power that conquered the grave lives in you and I. That we have that, and it flows through us, and that we are his. And by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we need to speak words of life to those people. But can I tell you that the words of life are only going to come through his power and through his gospel? Ephesians 2:5 says, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together by Christ. By grace you have been saved. Ephesians 2:8 then goes on and it says, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. This is the gospel. This is how it works. It's a gift. It's a gift that we have inside of us that God has given me, you, and I. And we have this gift, and it's our job. Matthew 28 says, what? Go therefore and make disciples. baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? That's our job. It's to go and spread this gospel, to spread these words of life. And you and I have it within us because we have personally experienced it. And there's power in that. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. There's a reason God wrote that. There's a reason that that's in Scripture. It's because there is power of the gospel in our testimony. Because we experience, we know, I've tasted and seen. It's nothing I did to earn it. It's nothing you can do to earn it. It's a gift. It's freely given. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your gospel, God. Thank you, Lord, that it works. Lord, that it's not just something that I'm sharing that doesn't have power to it, God. Lord, that it's not something that's dead, but Lord, it's alive. And God, it's manifesting in people. Lord, that you chose people to manifest in. Lord, that you chose people to dwell in. And you chose people to work through. Imperfect people, but a perfect God. Father, I pray, Lord, that as we give this opportunity, Lord, for people to experience your power. Lord, for them to experience your grace, your gift. Lord, that they would understand, Lord, that I'm not ashamed of you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ because he is powerful. Lord, because he works, because he changed my life, because of how it works, God, that I didn't have to do anything. And these people don't have to, they can't earn it, God. They can't work for it. Nothing they do will ever earn them grace, Lord, because you give it freely. And so, Father, as we look to you tonight, Father, as we look to you today for the salvation experience for those who don't know you, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would release that gift freely. Father, that you would give them the encouragement and the wisdom, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come. And, Lord, that you would bring conviction. Father, that they would be ready to accept this gift. And they could receive your power. That changes lives. Lord, that changed me so long ago. Lord, that changes my son's life. That changes my daughter's life. Lord, that changes my wife's life. Lord, this power of God, that's real. Father, that it will flow on your people today. Lord, that we would reflect on the justification and the reconciliation. Lord, that the price you made, Lord, that we were bought with a price. Lord, that there was bloodshed for my name and their name. Church, you may be here today. You may not know Jesus Christ. And you say, Keith, you've preached about this gospel. What is it? Let me tell you what it is. It's the story of a loving God who sent his son to pay a price, to die on a cross for your sins and my sins. But that's not the end. See, he rose on the third day. He conquered the grave for you and I so that we could come into intimacy with him, so we can know him. And now he sits on the right hand of the Father and he intercedes for you and I. That's the story. That's the gospel, is that you can be saved and that you can go and live with him for eternity. Romans 10, we read it earlier. It says that if you confess with your mouth, That comes here in a minute through prayer. If you say, Lord, I've sinned, I've messed up. If you confess, say, God, I'm in control of my life, not you. if you confess those things, and then you believe in your heart. Confession is fixing to come through prayer, but belief comes through actions. It's a 180. It's a turn back towards the Father. It's the actions that you live out every day that say, Lord, you're a priority in my life, and I'm going to do my best to follow you. That's belief, because I know you are the Son of God. I know you came and you died and rose again for me. And so I'm going to do my best to believe. I'm going to do my best to live it out. I'm going to do my best with the actions that I take every day to point others to you. That, my friends, is believing in your heart. And so I want to give you the opportunity this morning to make that right. Because God then says in Romans 10, he says, if you confess with your mouth, believe with your heart, then you will be saved. It's that process. It's the process of confessing and then trying to live, to walk it out with his help. And I want to give you that opportunity to know God, to know the power that I have felt, to know, to get the gift that I couldn't earn, that I didn't deserve, but he gives. Because that's who God is. So if that's you, you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you want to know him, every head bowed, eyes closed. If that's you, I just want you to make eye contact with me. So if everyone will pray this, and if you pray this and you mean it in your heart, then guess what? You're assured. So if everyone will pray with me. Lord, I've tried to do things my own way, and I'm sorry. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to come into my life and to be Lord. I submit myself to you. I believe that you died on the cross and rose again for me, and that you are the Son of God. Save me. In Jesus' name, amen.